Today on the Travel Guys.
Low 90s tomorrow. That sounds like fun. In the travel news, everyone is asking, should I still go to Hawaii? The governor of the state has responded, and we'll share his comments, and we'll tell you about how to fly around the world. The cost is less than you might think.
All right. 3:20 this afternoon. We make you a smarter traveler when we talk about what to do if you arrive at your vacation rental and it's not what you expected. And Mark revisits a topic that we touched on last week, status matches for frequent travelers.
I attended a major travel show this past week, IPW, International Powwow, in Denver. Interviews to share this week at 3:35 include the Miami Zoo, where they offer elephant yoga, Graceland, the home of Elvis Presley, and what to do on Ellis and Liberty Islands in New York Harbor.
And finally, at 3:50, Mark dips into his internet mailbag and answers your questions.
It's 9 o'clock on a Saturday, and the regular crowd shuffles in. There's an old man sitting next to me making love to his tonic. Oh, wait, no, that's not right. It's 3
what?
O'clock on a Sunday.
Oh.
You are the regular crowd, and we are the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I got two tickets to paradise to go.
To Alaska, I go north to Russia zone.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Travel Guys here on KFBK. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you and brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Hope you're having a wonderful day. Weather is turning warm. I see a lot of folks heading in over to Cal Expo to a local travel destination. It's the county fair time.
Yes, it is. It absolutely is. Great baseball game in Sacramento last night.
Yeah, Mark and I.
14,000 people. Yes, we went to the ball game separately together.
Yeah, we did. Independently, we didn't even know the other person was there. We both went out to the River Cats game, and probably based on the 14,000 that was there, somebody listening was out there with us.
There might be. Madison Baumgartner was, if you are a Giants, if you haven't lived in a cave or you know anything about baseball from the last half dozen years, you know that the ace of the Giants staff was in Sacramento on a rehab assignment. Last night, and basically made the Albuquerque players look like children trying to bat against a grown man.
It was
a fun night. The weather was perfect.
Yep.
It was perfect baseball weather. There was a sellout crowd. Everybody was up. It was perfect. Sacramento is the perfect baseball town.
It is, and Raley Field is such a beautiful park, and you know, I go to a lot of events with large crowds, and I have to say that those that go to the baseball games at Raley Field are the best behaved, and they're huge fans.
We were sitting down among some season ticket holders because I had bought my tickets online, and so I'm sure they were tickets somebody had given up. I kind of sensed we were among regular people. They all seemed to know each other and stuff, but very friendly. It was a wonderful game, and of course later on there was an inside the park home run. It was about as perfect of a night for a baseball game as we could get. I went to Denver this week. We're going to talk about that, but I actually in the mailbag this week there's a note from somebody that's asking what happened to Tom's pigeon.
Oh, the pigeon. Well, so, you know,
if you were listening last week, you know that there's a pigeon that's been making his home around Tom's house.
Right.
He was asking for help.
Exactly. He pretty much settled in, and what ended up happening is the pigeon has decided that the gazebo area is where she now likes to roost, literally on the light that hangs in the middle of the gazebo.
Uh-huh.
And I went to contacted a pigeon expert, and and he gave me advice on, are you ready for this, on how to catch it, because I haven't found anybody to email me or contact me that would like to come and get it. So here, the deal is this, is if you can get close enough to a pigeon while they roost at night, they don't fly at night.
Uh-huh.
So if you can get close to their roosting area, you can reach out and grab them.
This is not going to end well.
Okay, so I yesterday I put a ladder next to the lamp to see if I could kind of get her used to the ladder. Well, she's now decided to roost on the ladder. So last night after the Rivercats game, right, I go out there. My oldest daughter has kind of volunteered to be the grabber of the pigeon. So we kind of went up the ladder, and she did. She just kind of sat there and gave us the eye. And, I mean, we did all but grab her. So tonight is the pigeon grab.
And then now the travel news.
And as we do at the top of every Travel Guys radio show, we bring you the travel news. Here's Mark.
Right after the pigeon update, which we'll be counting on one more pigeon update next week. All right.
The scars to prove it.
It's not going to end well. What if that pigeon wakes up in the middle of you or
she's awake.
Whomever trying
She'll
to...
She'll be awake.
Yeah. That's,
and she's got talons.
You could be arrested for pigeon molesting. I can see it now. I can see radio host arrested. They'll probably mention my name if they get you. So guilt by association. Kilauea volcano. Folks who have vacations planned there are all calling me and saying, should we go? And
that would be me. I'm going this year.
Yes. And so it's, this is the deal. The governor has come out with a really strong statement. And at TravelGuysRadio.com, Melissa, our webmaster, has done a wonderful job. She has posted a map of the Big Island, the state of the Big Island of Hawaii, and she has shown on this map here, you can see the very small area of the island that is impacted by the volcano so far. So that gives you an idea that the rest of the Big Island is pretty accessible still, and, of course, all of the other islands. Now, that could be subject to change, of course. But history tells us that the volcanic eruptions and things that have happened generally impact that part of that big island. So for right now, Hawaii is safe to go to. The volcano is not really impacting things. If you're lucky and you get over there and the volcano is not acting up too much, you can probably take a helicopter tour and get an opportunity to see some things that you might not ever see again in your entire life. So it not only is it safe to go, but it might be a preferred time to go. I don't have another group scheduled to go until January. But also at TravelGuysRadio.com, we have several links there to the governor's comments, to what we call a VOG information dashboard, which will give you an opportunity to access all kinds of information. So if you have a trip to Hawaii or you're planning a trip to Hawaii and you want to do your homework on this whole volcano thing, go to TravelGuysRadio.com and you can, we have some tools there that will help you.
I see air qualities, you know, safety and all of that. So it's not just about worrying about the lava, but air quality on the island, particularly on the other side or downwind, I think is probably what most people are concerned about, and information there on TravelGuysRadio.com.
Exactly. And like I said, there's 7 or 8 different links there that really, if you, I spent about half an hour on it this morning. If you spend some time there, you will get a real good insight into what the situation is and what might cause it to change and therefore require you to go back and pay some more attention to things. Last week, we told you that American Airlines had joined all the other major carriers in unveiling the most stringent pet policy yet. I will tell you, Tom, we are now, several of the pet policies took place the first week of May. I was in the Portland airport, the Sacramento airport, the Denver airport, each of them a couple of times in trips that I made this last week. There are noticeably fewer animals in the airports. There are noticeably fewer, and on the planes, there are noticeably fewer animals. So all I can say is that the early returns, based on just observation, is that folks who had those service animals, that the increased restrictions on bringing those animals on the plane seems to be working, at least so far.
Let me look up pigeons on planes.
Pigeons on, yes, emotional support pigeon, I'm sure. Amtrak has announced that they are installing lactation suites for nursing mothers in several of their stations, 5 major train stations. 4 of these will be installed in time for the summer season. They're all on the eastern side of the country. Washington, D.C., Baltimore, Philadelphia, and Chicago, with a 5th being in New York's Penn Station. But they will feature comfortable benches, a fold-down table, an electric outlet for plugging in a breast pump, and a door that can be locked for privacy. This is really important because if you've ever been in a train station in any of those cities, if you were a lactating mother, there's no hope for you at all.
Wow.
So this really,
good.
By Amtrak, will obviously doesn't impact a large number of travelers, but for a few travelers, I suspect nursing mothers, I suspect this will be a really big deal. So some of the major train stations on the East Coast are getting those lactating suites, and lactation suites, and we, if that works, we might see some of them on the western side of the country. Southwest has announced that they are eyeing international expansion to Europe and possibly to Canada. I've always thought that would be a good market for Southwest, and airfares between the United States and Canada are not cheap once you get past Toronto, so that would be a heck of a good thing, and we've already talked about how there is so much extra capacity at the Sacramento airport. Perhaps that would be a good place for some of those Canadian flights to start or end. The Mexican Tourism Secretary has announced that Mexico's tourism is skyrocketing. Mexico tourism arrivals from the United States are not skyrocketing, but Mexico's tourism is skyrocketing. The nation has jumped in the last 5 years from being the 15th most visited destination in the world to being the 6th most visited destination.
And you're saying not necessarily from the United States to Mexico.
Because visitors from the United States have fallen off slightly to Mexico.
Okay.
So this increase is coming from the rest of the planet. So basically, while we're having some trouble deciding who's welcome and who's not in our country, in Mexico, they're not having that problem. And tourism equals jobs. Tourism equals big money. Tourism is the second largest positive balance of trade item that the United States has. People spend a lot more money here than we spend there. So us being good to tourists, and I want the country to be secure, but I want people who want to come here who have no ill will in mind to be able to come here and spend their money, because it creates jobs and it's good for our country. And it creates a lot of goodwill around the planet.
Right.
So I think that's kind of important. Okay, finally, last item here. This comes from one of the websites that I look at often, a blog. God Save the Points, it's called. This is an interesting story. You can go to travelguysradio.com and see all of the details, but it tells you how you can go around the world for 125,000 American Express points, and you can make a number of stops legally along the way. And I will tell you that you can get about half of that number of American Express points just by buying the right credit card and spending a few thousand dollars. So you could finagle this fairly easily if you already had some American Express points. You might want to look at this. It's an opportunity to go around the world using your American Express points, which if you don't have them, those can be fairly easily accrued. So anyway, go to travelguysradio.com and you can see that. And that is your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys. And as we've mentioned many times, follow along at travelguysradio.com. Okay. Coming up in just about 3 minutes, you arrive at your rental vacation, and it's not what you expected. I think everybody has been down this road at one time or another. What do you do? How do you deal with it? And also the status on matches.
The status on status matches.
There you go. That's coming up next on the Travel Guys.
I can't wait to get on the road again.
I tell you, huh? Between here and Rancho Cordova.
You know, your wife called me last night and said, that's exactly what she said. I can't wait for... No, I'm just kidding. She actually didn't call. She sent me an email.
We are the Travel Guys, Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. You know, we're going to talk a little bit about when you go on vacation and you arrive at your rental destination and it's not what you expected. Had that, went to Orlando last October, and you know, had a real nice timeshare deal and so forth, and stayed at a super resort that will remain nameless at this point. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we got there, and for whatever the reason, we ended up in what seemed like a pretty decent place, but the day before, they had a major sewage spill about 50 yards from where we were going to stay, and everything, the entire complex smelled like crap.
Literally.
Can I say that?
Can you say that?
I already did. That was just the part of it. But of course, at that time it was late in the evening.
So what did you
do? We couldn't make a change or anything. Well, we let the people know. First of all, we asked what the problem was, because they didn't warn us ahead of time what it was. Oh, by the way, you're going to be near a sewage spill, and we're working
so
on that.
So you think they knew about this?
Oh, they did, because when I asked what the problem, what the smell was, they knew.
They knew.
And anyway, we went to the front. We couldn't do anything until the following morning, and then we met up with management the following morning. They were kind enough to put us in the little golf cart and show us a couple of other pieces of property that were a little further away. And we picked another and moved, and everything went well. But, you know, I mean, there were probably people there that didn't do
that.
But
the important point of what you just said is kind of speaks to what I'm about to talk about here. This is actually comes from our good buddy Christopher Elliott. And one of his travel columns this week addresses how to handle a vacation rental disaster. But Chris really strongly recommends, and the point that I am going to make here is exactly what you did, and that is, you didn't wait until after the vacation was over and then contact whomever was that you needed to contact and say, hey, you know, there was this horrid smell and it was there the whole time and we had a lousy vacation and therefore I want a full refund. And they're going to say, well, dude, you stayed there for 5 or 6 nights. Why didn't you say something to somebody?
And some people will do that. They'll just suck it up. But we weren't going to be those people. And, something I have learned is you get better results if you respond immediately, and if you have an issue and address it with management.
Well, that's it. Chris relates here, Chris Elliott relates a guy who rented a house through Airbnb in Costa Rica, paid $1,200 for an entire month, which in Costa Rica is a price that seemed almost too good to be true. Warning about prices that are almost too good to be true when you're traveling, they generally are too good to be true. So you might get a bargain someday, but you're going to get burned lots of times if that's the waters that you swim in. Anyway, this vacation rental didn't go the way that he wanted to, and the gentleman didn't contact Airbnb until a couple weeks after he got back home. He was a businessman. He was busy by the time he got to it, and he sent in a documented thing. Well, Airbnb only allows you to post a review for a couple of weeks. So now he's in a situation where he can't really get anybody to and try to get one of these online people to, you know, Airbnb, booking.com, hotels.com, Travelocity, try to get a live voice at one of those people is really a challenge. And so eventually they offered this gentleman a $522 credit for part of his stay, which he wasn't real happy with. But the point that Chris is making here is that he made a huge mistake by waiting until his entire vacation was over. You check into a hotel. I take people to New York City, and we stay at the Marriott Marquis in Times Square. And people, when we go, we're generally staying for 5 nights. And that hotel is costing them $300 plus a night. It's a $1,500 part of their trip. It's expensive. It's important. If you get there the first night and you have the room next to the elevator and you can hear the elevator or the ice machine, or there's something wrong with your room and they don't fix it, I want to know about it, because you spent a lot of money on that room and there's no reason in the world for you to sit there for 5 nights and have the same nagging problem. So the same thing applies when you're in a hotel as when you're renting a vacation property. You need to let the people know immediately that there's a problem. Don't wait until after your stay has concluded to broach the issue, because you have a lot less leverage and there's a lot fewer things that could be done to help you. You gave a great example. You were one night in a place with a bad smell. You called it to their attention. They responded and moved you to someplace that was satisfactory.
I think a lot of folks feel that, you know, they don't want to be complainers. It's difficult for them to, you know, step up and make that call or go see someone. One of the things that you need to think about, people, is that you're doing the resort or wherever you're staying, you're doing them a service, not a disservice, by letting them know that you have an inappropriate facility or whatever it is. You're helping them out, giving them the opportunity to succeed with you as a customer, so that you'll come back. By keeping it to yourself and then it going bad after the vacation is not good for either one of you.
You ever check into a hotel? This happened to me in Portland 2 nights ago. Staying in a Hilton Garden Inn. Love the Hilton Garden Inn properties. Turn on the shower in the morning. The water in the shower head squirts in all different directions. So that is not the first morning that that shower head squirted in all different directions. This is a microcosm of what we're talking about here. But if the person who had been in that room before had done what I did, and that was as I was leaving, I didn't make a big deal out of it. I just stopped by the front desk and I said, you know what? Send the maintenance guy to 333 and ask him to turn the shower on, and he'll see that there's a there's an issue there. The shower head needs to be cleaned. So if the hotel does their job, the next guy who shows up and is in room 333 last night, the shower will work just fine for him. So exactly what you're talking about, Tom. Don't be concerned that you're doing them a disservice, because think of it as the fact that you're doing the next guy to come along a service. Okay, we got about 2 minutes here. I got several emails after we talked about status matches last week, and I just wanted to kind of clarify this. The only folks who know about this, what I'm talking about probably are people who have attained a high status, an elite status with an airline or a hotel. If you've done that and you decide that you don't want to stay with that hotel or that airline anymore, you don't want to be their customer, but you still have to fly or you still have to stay in hotels, what you can do is you can ask the hotel chain you want to move to or the airline that you would prefer to start traveling with for a status match. And they will give you generally a short window to prove to them that by giving them some of your business that you are going to be this good customer that you say that you're going to be. Hotels will oftentimes match you automatically. If you show Marriott that you have the top status at Hyatt, they'll give it to you for a year or the rest of that year just because they, and they'll give you the opportunity to show that you're a good customer and then earn that status. Keep in mind, though, you can only do this once. So you call Delta Airlines and you ask them for a status match and they give it to you and you say, ha, 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 now I can take those two flights with Delta the rest of the year and I'm going to get all these privileges. Well, then you will lose them at the end of the year because, of course, you didn't fly enough to qualify for the status the next year, and Delta will never do that for you again. So if you're going to ask for a status match, it needs to be something that you're serious about, that you're a good customer of one of these travel entities, you intend to continue being a good customer, and this is the new company that you'd like to do business with, and generally you will find that they are very receptive, but only once.
Some great interviews from the International Powwow in Denver that Mark visited this past week. We're going to talk about Miami, Graceland, trips to the Statue of Liberty, and more. That's next right here on The Travel Guys. Keep it here. KFBK, we've got the news coming up next. I'm leaving on a jet plane. I don't know when I'll be back again. Oh, babe, I miss those guys, Peter, Paul, and Mary.
I thought you were going to say you missed Rudy's Hideaway.
Well, no. I go to Rudy's. Well, if I say that, everybody will start showing up.
You think?
Yeah.
You think? Rudy's Hideaway is one of the best places in town to get a reasonable meal.
It is. And
that's all I have. It's a pleasure to have them on this program.
Right. Well, in brief, and then we'll move on.
Okay.
My father-in-law, about 2 years ago, we stopped by Rudy's on a Tuesday afternoon.
Uh-huh.
And had a beer.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, he's retired like me, just a teeny older. Anyway, he goes, you know, we ought to do this every Tuesday. So a small group, my brother and sister-in-law, my wife, my father-in-law, Jack, and myself, every Tuesday,
we go
to Rudy's. Mm-hmm. We call it Rudy Tuesdays.
Yeah.
We actually have Rudy's T-shirts, which have their logo on the back, and my wife put on the pocket, Rudy's Tuesday Club. So every Tuesday, the Romanos and Jack and the Winsels show up for Rudy Tuesday. So it's only appropriate that
Rudy's is part of the program.
Yeah, really. So if you do show up, say hi.
I took off last week and spent 3 days in Denver at International Powwow. Now, this is a show where people from all over the world come to buy the United States, to see how to put together tours and vacation packages and independent trips and canoe trips and adventure packages and everything that you can possibly imagine that you can buy in the United States. The rest of the world comes And for 4 or 5 days, they have appointments. And this one was in Denver, so they see a lot of the city and they do sightseeing tours. It's an opportunity for the host city to display them, put themselves on display. And so I talked to some of the folks that were at the show. You will hear from three of them today, and then you'll hear from a bunch of them in weeks ahead as I made a bunch of contacts from things that I thought were interesting. Hopefully, you will share my opinion. The first one we're going to talk to today, I talked to Natalie Amant. She is with the Miami Zoo, which is one of the top 10 zoos in the country. Natalie, we're talking, and you tell me at the zoo that you have a very special elephant, so I want you to tell me about that, and then we have some special activities that involve elephants. Yeah. Tell me about the Asian elephant.
So we just received En Garde. He's an Asian male elephant. He's over 6,300 pounds. He traveled all the way from Melbourne Zoo in Australia, first to San Diego Zoo, and then over to Miami. It took over 36 hours to get him to the zoo. It's been a very special process. He has a very specific genetic line that we are looking to introduce into the North American states. So this is very special to have him here. At this time, I don't know if I already mentioned, but he's 7 years old. But there isn't currently a female that we have ready for him to breed with, but we can still use his genetic line to, you know, through artificial intelligence, pass it on to other zoos throughout the United States.
Wow, and then you're telling me at the zoo that you have elephant yoga. Please tell me about elephant yoga.
Yes, so elephant yoga, ironically enough, is also held in front of our Asian elephant exhibit. So hopefully En Garde will be making an appearance when we do our elephant yoga series. And basically, what's very special about elephant yoga is that our guests get an opportunity to enter the park before it's interrupted by regular guests. So the park opens at 10 a.m., but elephant yoga begins at 8 a.m. And you get a private tour through the zoo to get up to the Asian elephant exhibit led by one of our zookeepers. So as you're getting to the location of the yoga, the zookeeper is giving you fun facts about any animal that you see along the way. Then yoga is held about an hour and a half long in front of our Asian elephant exhibit. And it's very special. You get to experience the elephants roaming, eating, like playing with each other as you're enjoying your yoga experience in an uninterrupted zoo.
So the elephants aren't actually doing yoga with you. You and the elephants are enjoying yoga at different places at the same time together.
Exactly. However, we do have some fun training that we do with our elephants that our zookeepers can do. And specifically, our oldest elephant, Dollop. He's 51 years old. He'll be turning 52 later this year. He knows how to bow his head, how to lift his trunk. And sometimes you're looking at it, it kind of looks like a downward dog position. He knows what he's doing.
Is the elephant yoga part of the behind-the-scenes tours that you were telling me about? Tell me a little bit about those.
It's not part of one of the behind-the-scenes tours. It is just like more like a private tour, but you're not going to behind-the-scenes of the animal exhibit. That may be something that we'll expand on as like the elephant yoga grows. But behind-the-scenes is very special. You can choose up to like three different animals that you can go behind-the-scenes with. We have zookeepers that can conduct the tours, or you can have like one of our group sales specialists conduct it for you. Basically, you'll jump on a golf cart, and they'll take you to three different locations. You can see like the night houses for the animals. There might be special enrichment that we might do with them as well. So it just depends on the package that you purchase.
Wow, that is outstanding. And Tom, I'm going to get Natalie to send me a picture or two of the elephant yoga so we can post them on our website.
You know, at the beginning of the interview, when you first spoke of elephant yogurt, I thought you said yoga. I thought you said elephant yogurt. And she says, yes, we serve that at the in front of the elephant display. And then it went on and I finally figured it out. By the way, you are a yoga guy.
I am.
What is the downward dog position?
Well, that's a kind of a, it's, you know, when you put your, when your hands and your feet are, okay, yeah.
Okay, Mark's going to do it. Okay.
Your hands and your feet are both on the floor.
Oh, his hands and feet are both on the floor and his head is down.
It's kind of a, it's sort of a grab your ankles type position.
Okay, there you go.
There you are.
That made me dizzy just
live
watching.
Live elephant yoga right here, the Travel Guys. All right, so the next guy that I talked to was from the Statue of Liberty Cruises, Rafael Abreu. And so I asked him, I said, Rafael, tell me about some of the activities people will find when they take the statue cruise out to Ellis and Liberty Islands.
Sure. The island itself, the Statue of Liberty is broken out into two different levels, the pedestal access portion and the crown access portion. Roughly about 25 to 30% of our visitation actually goes into the museum itself. The pedestal access portion gives you the ability to get up to the base of the Statue of Liberty itself. It's an outdoor observation deck where you could actually see, you're about six stories up and you can see most of the harbor from that location. Unobstructed views of Lower Manhattan, per se.
Now, those tickets are generally not available sometimes on the day of, you just, if you just show up and you want to get that ticket. How long in advance would you suggest people considering purchasing tickets if they want to go inside the statue?
Sure. You could book tickets for our operation about 6 months out. We have a rolling six-month process. I would say if you're visiting during a holiday period, to try to book your tickets within 60 days. The general booking window is roughly about 30 days. And if you're really looking to visit the crown of the Statue of Liberty, I'd bump that out even further. I'd say even 90 days is probably the preference in order for yourself to guarantee access to the very top of the statue.
And we tell people that when they go to the statue, if they're going to take the cruise out there, try to go out on the very first boat. Go in the first couple boats of the day. Things are less crowded, particularly when you get to Ellis Island, and that building has a tendency to be kind of noisy because of the high ceilings and stuff like that. There is a hard hat tour available now at Ellis Island. Tell us a little bit about that and maybe anything else that might be of interest to folks who are visiting Ellis Island.
Sure. But just speaking to the early start, I would tell people generally to stick to Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. That's a lighter time of the year to actually visit. It's not as busy as weekends, obviously. And there is a sweet spot. The early departure is absolutely the right way to go. First departure is at 8:30. The ticket office opens at about 7:45. And I would say if you're there prior to the 10 a.m. time slot, you're in good shape. We're busiest between 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. Anything before that period or after that period, it's a better opportunity or a better visit for all the guests that come through.
And when they get to Ellis Island?
Oh, Ellis Island's fantastic. It's a three-level museum, interactive displays. You can literally spend half a day there without fail. No issue at all there. The hard hat tour is the newest aspect of the island in itself. It's a 90-minute guided tour of the south side of Ellis Island. It takes you through the hospital ward, takes you through areas. It's really an insider's tour. It'd be fantastic for a photographer to make their way through these areas. You see basically the areas that they actually... There was a teaching aspect to the island as well. There was actually, physicians would teach other physicians how to operate in certain in regard, more so with regard to autopsies and what have you. It was a very amazing building. I mean, the historic nature of this structure is just unbelievable. It's unbelievable. The hard hat tour in itself, it's a 90-minute tour. You have a guide. It's a hard hat tour, so you're literally walking around the south side of the island with a hard hat. And it's very compelling. It's not for everyone. I would say if young children shouldn't go out on this tour. You have to sign a waiver as you make your way through the actual area. It could be rigorous at times, but it's definitely worth it. I've done it a few times, and I love the tour. Every time I have anyone that comes through, I suggest they do the hard hat tour. It's a great experience.
Well, and if you're a historian or you want to know some things about the island when you leave at the end of the day that other folks don't know about, why, there's your opportunity. Rafael, thank you very much for a few minutes of your time.
No worries. Glad to be here.
Mark, do you take your travelers when Sports Leisure Vacations goes to New York to Ellis Island?
We do. And the hard hat tour, unfortunately, we wanted to offer it to some of our folks in the spring this time when we were there because they'd already started it, but they had a few days when they didn't offer it. They had some kind of flooding or something like that. So because you're going into buildings that are literally under renovation, so, you know, they say that 40% of the people in this country have a connection to Ellis Island. 2 out of 5 have, if you go back in your family history, that you'll find that somebody in your family passed through Ellis Island. So, I mean, it's a really interesting place to go to. And the important thing when you go to Ellis and Liberty Island is don't get off the boat at Liberty Island, because you go past the island on the boat. You can take your pictures. You stay on the boat. You get some more pictures. And you go over to Ellis Island, where there are lots more exhibits and a lot more things to see and do. Liberty doesn't have as much to offer visitors, unless, of course, you're going to climb up to the top, as Rafael was talking about. All right, one more stop here on our Attractions Across the United States tour from International Powwow. We're going to Graceland. And I asked Gary Hahn, who is the Vice President of Marketing and Media, what does the summer hold in store for visitors to Graceland?
Yes, the summer is huge for us. July is our biggest month, but it culminates in August with Elvis Week. This will be the 41st Elvis Week. Fans come, thousands of fans from around the world gather at Graceland for concerts, panel discussions. We do everything at our new complex called Elvis Presley's Memphis across the street from the mansion. We have 200,000 square foot museum space and performance area. We have concerts. We're going to be celebrating Elvis's 68 special, which was his comeback special on NBC, which was produced 50 years ago, broadcast 50 years ago this December. We'll be honoring that special. We'll also have a wonderful gospel tribute. You know, Elvis's three Grammys were all for gospel records, so gospel was an important part of Elvis's career. And we have Darlene Love doing a full concert. She was in the 68 special. So all sorts of things. And, of course, it culminates with what is the Candlelight Vigil, which is on the evening of August 15th. Thousands of fans gather in front of the mansion. They close Elvis Presley Boulevard. Each fan walks up to the meditation garden where the gravesite is, holding a candle. They walk up the driveway, and then they have various memorials in front of the mansion. Very moving. Goes till about 6 in the morning, usually starts at 8:30 at night, to honor Elvis Presley 41 years later.
For folks, Gary, who haven't been to Graceland before, give us a little bit of the nuts and bolts. What happens when someone comes to Graceland? Tell us a little bit about the tour and what a visit to Graceland entails.
Sure. Well, you start at Elvis Presley's Memphis, which is our new entertainment complex. There you buy your tickets and you get on a shuttle that goes to the mansion itself. The mansion is directly across the street, and that's where you can see the main rooms of the house, everything
which
from...
Which is really an interesting
place. It is frozen in time from 1977. Yeah. A gorgeous living room, dining room, the jungle room, which is incredibly famous and well known, his TV room, which was sort of like the first man cave. So a wonderful tour, his racquetball building, and then it culminates in Meditation Garden where he's buried. You then come back to the other side of the street where we have various museums that really tell the full story of Elvis's career. We have over 30 of his vehicles. We tell the Sam Phillips story, Sam Phillips who created Sun Records and basically discovered Elvis. So there's all sorts of different things to do. And of course we have a hotel, the guest house at Graceland, which is one of the largest hotels in Memphis.
So people can not only visit and learn about Elvis, but they can stay right on the property.
They can stay on the property, and it feels like Elvis, and just how all the decor, a 21st century version of Elvis.
By the way, if you would like to hear any of these interviews a second time and you'd like to check out our podcasts, simply go to travelguysradio.com, enter your email address on the message board there, and we will send you a link to the podcasts every Tuesday.
And we don't share your information with anybody, and we don't send any other promotional announcements, so we won't fill your mailbox with garbage. We will just send you a link each week to the Travel Guys Radio Show. Coming up after the break, we're going into the mailbag. We're going to answer your questions right here on the Travel Guys. Welcome back to the Travel Guys. Mark and Tom here. Every once in a while, well, actually all the time, we encourage you to send your travel questions to us. Go to our website at travelguysradio.com. There's a spot there where you can fill out a very simple form and ask your question or your idea or whatever it is that you would like to hear about on the radio. And every few weeks, we dig into the mailbag like we're about to do now and answer some of your questions. Thomas?
Well, Kamir from Roseville, he was listening to the program, Mark, and he heard us talking about using travel websites to book trips. And he says, wanted to know if we were talking about all travel websites. And if so, how would you ever, book your travel if you didn't use a website? He wants to know, did he miss something?
Well, our idea is that the reason we say don't use third-party websites to book trips, and that's perhaps the part that he missed, was third-party websites. Mm-hmm. If you're staying in a Hilton hotel, try to book it on the Hilton website. If you're staying in a Marriott hotel, book it on the Marriott website. If you're flying on Delta Airlines, book it on the Delta website. And the reason we say that is because those third-party people won't be there when you have a problem.
And for example, what, Booking.com.
Oh, yeah. Hotels.com, Travelocity, any of them.
It's not that they're bad companies. It's just that they're not going to be there to get your back if it doesn't go well.
Exactly. And what you want to do is you want to use them as a resource to find out what the best price is. And then you want to go to that hotel or that airline's website and get the same price there somehow. You're going to have a hard time negotiating with an airline, but negotiating with a hotel is a little easier.
Carl from Sacramento asks a question that a lot of us have, and something that's happening to a lot of us. We get these phone calls that offer us opportunities to go on vacation and win prizes, but they say this isn't a timeshare. They're offering you free airfare, free accommodations. Why not take them up on it and just skip out on them when you get to Vegas?
Well, and lots of people, Tom, the landscape is littered with people who have done just what Carl thought he's going to do, and that is, well, they're offering me 3 days and two nights with airfare. I'll just take them up on it. When I get there, I'll just tell them that, you know, I just won't go to the meeting or wherever I'm supposed to go. The problem with that, Carl, is you may find that your return air ticket disappears when you don't show up as you're supposed to. So, yes, they obviously, these people are not stupid. They do this for a living. So if you think you're going to outsmart somebody who outsmarts people for a living, then you probably have another thing coming. My suggestion to you is spend the money, get a vacation on your own. If you want, you can accept one of these things and go to their timeshare. They may say it's not a timeshare presentation because now travel clubs, that's the thing. Mm-hmm. You're going to do a travel club presentation, and we're going to show you how by belonging to our travel club, you can save all kinds of money and get these incredible rates everywhere, which, of course, in many cases don't materialize. So travel club is the new phrase for timeshare presentation is travel club presentation. Avoid that like the plague.
And travel clubs, just like timeshares, want some money from you to join.
Oftentimes, yes.
Yeah, there you go. Well, okay. Betty from Sacramento, who has traveled with you, Mark. Apparently, when she traveled with you, she wasn't able to observe your ability to sleep on a plane. She says she hates early morning flights because she can't sleep the night before. I'm with you there, Betty. I'm one of those people too. Then you try to sleep on the plane and that doesn't work. And what happens? You always arrive tired. Any sleeping on a plane suggestions?
Well, if you leave from the West Coast, you often are going to leave in the middle of the night. I know people who do a variety of different things. I know somebody who takes Ambien when they get on the plane so that they can go to sleep. The only thing about taking something that knocks you out is what if you happen to be one of those situations where there's an emergency and now your wits are not quite about you. I'm looking for the perfect travel pillow, as you know, and if I ever find it, you people will be the first to know. I think getting something that makes your head comfortable, and seats don't recline very much anymore. So if you can't sleep sitting up, you're just in trouble. I mean, you need to be able, earplugs that truly block out some of the other noise from around the cabin. That way, if there was an emergency, an earplug can be taken out very quickly and you can be ready to function. There is no tried and true method of how to sleep on an airplane. Sorry, Betty.
Serena from El Dorado Hills says her and her new husband planning one last big vacation before the children, and they want to take a trip. Just the two, someplace really fun and exotic. Yeah, you got.
I remember this one.
You got
yes,
a couple of suggestions.
Yes, they're getting
Mark.
Ready to make a family, and they've decided that they want to go, these couples in their late 20s, and they want to go on one last big grand vacation.
Family making?
Before vacation? They start. Well, could be. They didn't say that, but that's a possibility.
Okay.
So someplace really fun and exotic. My wisdom to you is do your homework first. Create a short list of four or five places that you think you might want to go, and then get yourself a true travel professional. A travel agent, it's going to cost you a little bit of money, maybe a couple $100. But if it's this vacation is that important to you, why not have someone plan it who really knows what they're doing? Gwen Duncan, who's on the show from time to time, there's a link to see why yours travel. Cordially yours travel at the Travel Guys Radio website.
And
get a professional.
Get a professional.
That's the important thing.
Yeah, if you do the, you know,
fun and exotic. You may think you know what you're doing. Figure out what you want to do. Get a professional to help you and pay them a few dollars.
All right. And a lot of folks have chimed in and asked the same question. So we'll just lump them together here. Mark, what's your favorite hotel chain and why do you like to stay there?
I'm a Marriott guy. Generally, the service is better. The quality of the stay is better. They're more professional, and I find the hotels to be generally very clean, up and down from the lowest level to the top level. We have just a second here, Tom. Folks always ask about how to exchange money overseas, and the one thing I want to tell them is be very careful in the airport unless it's a bank ATM. Because if you're exchanging monies at, you know, Travelers Insight or something, then that can be a problem. And remember always to dance like nobody's watching.
Stay well, my friends. We'll see you next week, Sunday, 3 o'clock on The Travel Guys. Stay well.